Mirror, and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians. This is not really me. Is it, Riley? We're on tape here.
We're on tape.
But we're here for you because we're going to be on Randy Rhodes' show this afternoon. And this morning we're going to be playing some of the highlights that we had from last week's Friday appearance on Randy Rhodes' show.
Kind of like the Twilight Zone, isn't it?
A little bit. You know what's weird, though? I kind of like the hours, buddy.
I love them.
Right now we're sleeping. Yeah. You understand that? We're sleeping. I'm sorry to do that to you folks, but Mark Riley and I are dozing happily at our homes as you listen to us, but we're going to be on Randy tonight. This is not going to go on forever, but, you know, we're going to do the Bounce Your Boobies song tonight.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the conditions of doing Randy Rhodes. As I said, are you guys willing to play along with Bounce Your Boobies? And reluctantly, I played along with Bounce Your Boobies.
I like the It's Friday, You Bastards part better.
Okay, so let's bring you up to speed and hear how we started last Friday's Randy Rhodes show.
It's Friday!
You bastards!
You know, girls, it's great to live in a democracy today, where freedom is everywhere.
I'm happy to be listening to the Randy Rhodes show on Friday. With me doing it.
Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and freedom of action. But you know, girls, just because a bunch of men signed that Declaration of Independence in 1776...
It kind of makes me wish I had boobies.
Freedom was for men alone.
I think I had boobies when I was younger.
Oh,
I was
no, you take Tom Jefferson.
Fat kid.
Ben Franklin. John Hancock.
Husky section.
Hell of a guy for you right there. All these men have wives. They probably had a few broads on the side, too. These women wanted freedom just as much as their men did. But, girls, I wonder, do we... I think it's time that we women thought about it a bit.
I dated a woman that sounded like
this
in college. Once.
So come on, fellow females of the 20th century.
Went the other way.
Went the other way.
Claim your freedom.
Yeah.
Cross town.
And new tension. And...
here we go.
Bounce your boobies. Dance
to
the
swing.
Terrific. Bounce your boobies. The swing is everything.
Can we do this on our show?
Sure.
Do they have a male response to Bounce Your Boobies?
Give him your all!
I don't know. The hip-hop song that has it in there, but no.
You don't mind if I dance, do you, Riley?
No, not at all.
Should I do a little flapper thing?
Take it off if you feel like it. Come on,
she sounds like Randy. Am I wrong?
I'm not sure I'd go quite that far.
People in the world today who have something to give.
I hope that Brandon's listening. She's got enough morphine to not get too worked up about anything.
Just look around you.
Stick
out all over the place. Big fat cigars. Big fat
I love cigars.
And just where they should stick out.
Oh, my God.
Where is that?
Uh-oh.
Yes, girls, we size know queen. It. We've got it. We know what they're worth. So come on, gal. Let's get into the swing of things. Give your boobies some freedom. All together now.
How could I have gone through life and never heard this song ever?
Me neither.
I don't understand.
Is it on iTunes?
It seems like one of those songs you would have heard.
Was it,
must have been popular. I don't even know what year it was. It sounds like for the 40s, right? 50s maybe?
Late 40s, early 50s maybe?
Well, certainly, that was great. Is it done? Almost? How long does it go on for? 20 minutes? Tremendous. Fridays are easy here.
Yeah.
We can go right into another song?
Yeah. Oh. All right. Nice work.
Can I say it again? It's Friday, you bastards.
There you go.
I get to say bastards. I get to call the guys that we are sanctioned by Randy's people to say bastards in a friendly way, are we not?
Yes.
Randy Rhodes has given us permission from her hospital bed to say bastards.
She's not in her hospital bed anymore.
She's not. Oh,
she's
good.
Home.
Oh, good.
She's recuperating. She's recovering. She's going to be back soon.
I'm sure she is, and she's got to have some good drugs. Good drugs. I'm sure Randy's enjoying the drugs at home.
Well, I'm sure she's relaxed.
My friend Mark Riley, it is nice to be given the permission to do Vicodin or morphine or Percocet or whatever, you know, you might be given.
Well, you know, I try to live my life drug-free, but what the heck? I hate pain.
I mean, yeah, well, you know, that's all relative. I mean, you know, pain. I'm in pain now, you know, but
not
surgical pain, but I'm in pain. Let's tell people who we are. Some people don't know us. Many people do know us. I am Mark Maron. That is my friend Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
We host the morning program here on Air America Radio every day called Morning Sedition. Though some of you don't get our morning program, we'd like to welcome you to do so, either, you know, through a radio station or perhaps through that newfangled computer device you have on your desk.
Internet or satellite,
name it. And you can stream us at morningsedition.com. You go to Air America Radio, get information where we are located. If you don't get our show, you can certainly write your radio station and say, hey, what the hell? Where's Mark and Mark?
That's right. Now, you know, we talk to a lot of truckers in the morning. I hope there's some people driving listening to us this afternoon as well.
Yeah.
That's always fun to talk to truckers.
Yeah.
You know, guys.
I'm not sure why.
Well, big rigs, man. Those things, you know, I have to ride with them on my way in here.
I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just saying it's like there's something cool about a trucker because you just know the dude just sitting there driving and he's got his bed behind him in a hot tub and he's got maybe a couple of people he picked up at the truck stop. There's a little party going on in the cab. I'll tell you, man. Yeah. I've never been able to appreciate. I appreciate Friday morning because, you know, you and I are here like 2:30 in the morning. This is the first time I've ever been here in the afternoon. There are other people that work at Air America. Did you know that?
Many other people.
There's a whole room full of people. Tim and Jenny. We got Randy's production crew. I've never even met them before. There was a cake. People bring cakes on Fridays. There's food to eat. We are on the wrong shift, man.
I'm beginning to believe that.
There's nothing even open when we get there. We're lucky if we can get some coffee or for the intern to go out and get us an egg sandwich or something.
Or bagel,
cakes,
something.
Riley, cakes on Friday.
Cakes? That's right. It was an ice cream cake, right?
No kidding, it was an ice cream cake. It was a whale cake? A Carvel cake.
Oh, no.
It was a Carvel cake.
Fudgy the whale.
Fudgy the whale.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Well, you know, I think I saw Chris Lopresto with ice cream smeared on his face. I mean, we got into a whole kid thing, it seems.
Chris Lopresto is our board up. And, oh, my God, there's all the old faces are coming. I swear to God, I just saw Ray James, who used to write for this show back when Air America started. Remember the old days, the dark days, when no one knew what was going to happen or whether or not the check was going to bounce?
Oh, remember
those dark weird days?
I remember that.
Yeah. Everything's changed now. There's huge money behind us.
Is it?
Oh, my God. There is like Republican propaganda money behind us, Riley.
Oh, no,
unbelievable.
Not that. Never that.
You know, I did my show at Symphony Space last night.
How'd it go?
It went good. I'm going to talk about it in the next segment. I would like to address the fact that I don't always sound like this. I don't always sound like I need throat surgery. I have some sort of cold, and it aggravates me, Riley.
Well, look, do the run-up to the show. What did you do to get your voice in shape to do the show last night?
What did I do?
You must have been obsessed about these things. You know you did stuff.
Basically, before I do any show, it's the same preparation that I do for the morning show, the same preparation I do for a television show, the same preparation I do for my radio show. I spend about an hour going, oh, I suck. This is going to be awful. How am I going to even do this? And that's sort of how I prepare. It's a yoga thing. It's a dark yoga thing. A lot of people don't know about the dark yoga. That's not where it's all light and goodness or nirvana. It's literally like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. Now, the way that works is, if you say something's going to suck enough, anything that happens is going to be better
there
than completely
go.
Sucking.
There
am I right?
Yes.
Is there a method to that madness? But I get aggravated when I get a cold because, you know, you ever get sick and you know where you got it? Like, in New York, you had to take a train. So you're always on the train. You're on the subway. And, you know, there's that one day where you're just sitting there minding your own business, trying to sort of accept your horrendous life in the world that we live in. And then some guy just goes, and just blows snot and spit and viral bacteria all over the car. I remember the guy's face. Who gave it to me?
Really?
I remember his face, and if I ever see him again, I'm going to say, buddy, you know what? You're going to pay. Next time I get sick, I'm going to track you down and cough in your face.
But you know what? In New York, you can get sick from almost anything. I mean, you know, guy does that kind of thing, covers his mouth, and then grabs the pole in the middle of the subway. You go, because you're standing up. You grab that same pole. You got whatever he's got.
Wow.
Congratulations.
That sounds like fun. It's like tag.
In this environment, yeah. But, you know, people are going home now. You know that, right?
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, people are going home. They're driving in their cars. I don't have a car myself. I'm going to... maybe I should wear one of those masks. You ever see people on the subway? They got gloves and masks on, and your first response is like,
Michael Jackson.
What a freak.
Nobody knows.
I don't know. Maybe it's a smart thing to do. Maybe I should get a suit.
You know what's really weird?
What?
People wearing those masks, and they're like a big brown spot in the front of it.
Oh, my God, Riley. Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe you want to take it off when you're blowing the smoke out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. All right, so we'll listen to more when we come back. A caller actually is going to tell us what that brown spot on the mask really is, Riley. Remember that?
Scaring me.
Okay.
You're listening to Morning's Edition.
We're the highest rated, most respected news show in America.
On Air America Radio.
Back, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes.
You're listening to Morning's Edition, but you're listening to Morning's Edition. That was Mark and I on the Randy Rhoads Show last Friday. We're going to be on again the Randy Rhoads Show this afternoon, which is why we're sleeping right now. Riley and I usually sit in our studio, but when you do the Randy Rhoads Show, we sat in the small studio where Gelman sits.
In the small studio, yeah, which was a production studio. That's, and it's a small, more intimate space. I didn't even know you could still broadcast out of there, but I learned something new every week.
And then all of her crew, Tim and Jenny, they're all sitting with Larson, and Brendan was there, and Kalo came in. There was like 20 people in the studio we usually do our show from.
A cast of thousands.
Okay, so so now let's hear more of us on the Randy Rhoads Show. Yeah, so it's just unbelievable to be awake and functioning at this hour of the day. When you do a morning show, usually you walk around feeling like you have the flu all the time.
Yeah.
But now here we are. We're ready. We're going to take on the bigger issues of the day, today being the day. The bigger issues, of course, next hour we're going to get into John Necroponte, the Death Bridge, the new Minister of Intelligence Manufacturing for the neocon death cult. It's like a party in here. It's unbelievable. What are there, 20 people over there in the booth? Like, I heard Barry Lank, one of the writers for the show, he's sort of like, you know, hey, we're going to get some beer. Look at this. We're locked in this, Tim. What are we doing? We're stuck in here. You guys are going to start drinking beer and jumping around, dancing naked in the other room. How is that fair?
Well, I don't know, but a listener just sent Randy 5 cases of Amber Box, so I thought we might bring him up in a little bit, too.
Oh, my God. So then I get to just sit there and watch as a bunch of Satans try to get me to drink.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a drinker.
No, neither am I. Not when I'm on the air.
Yeah, but you'll have a few. I know you.
No. Not Amber. It's not a problem with Amber Bach. I stopped drinking beer a long time ago. I used to drink a lot of beer. I used to enjoy it a lot, and then I just stopped.
You know why people stop drinking beer? Because they realize, wow, I can get a lot more done if I drink hard liquor. I know what you're saying, Riley. You're saying who needs to fill up when you get drunk with just two glasses of this stuff?
No, I I started liking hard liquor. I used to like single malt scotch when I smoked cigars.
Right.
Yeah, you know about
right.
The cigar thing.
I'm off them, man. I'm off everything.
You stopped the cigars?
Yeah, I stopped. It wasn't a real thing with me. It was just because, you know, I'm an addict, and I like to do anything in excess, and eventually I get to that point where I'm like, wow, my cats can't breathe. Perhaps I should not do this. You know, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Not because I had a problem. Right? Maybe I had a little problem, right? But I had a good time. I got no regrets, all right? I logged a lot of hours. I covered a lot of topics. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Do you? Okay. Look, the reason I quit doing drugs and drinking is pretty simple. Look, everyone's got demons, folks, and I know that to be true. I just realized a few years ago that I had all of them. And they were tired a little bit. You know what I mean? You used to be that one that would pop up and be like, woohoo! Let's go get some booze, some women, some cocaine. And then a few years back, that guy just came out and he's like, woohoo! How about some ice cream? And then a porno, that'd be good. And then some sleepy sleep.
Uh-oh.
I'm tired. This all-night stuff has got to stop, man. We're too old.
Well, sooner or later, you get to that point. And my father always said to me, never start something you can't stop.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently, your father assumed that everyone has control over that kind of stuff.
Well, my father was an alcoholic, actually.
Oh.
But he eventually stopped.
He just stopped.
He stopped.
Good for him.
The doctor said stop, and stop he did.
Yeah, I stopped. Yeah, I stopped with a little help from here and there. But I feel pretty good about it. I got ice cream. I got other things.
Oh, you got ice cream?
Sure, I got ice cream. I got Ben and Jerry's to help me through the dark times.
Ben and Jerry's and a Honduran cigar.
No more cigars. Cigars, man. In ice cream and cigars, that's sad. You know, ice cream flavored. Cigar flavored ice cream, that'd be bad.
Well, yeah, that would be bad.
Ben and Jerry's starting to bum me out, though. I've covered this stuff before, but not on this show.
Didn't we have
talked to Ben Cohen.
Ben Cohen, yeah.
Yes. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. When I was younger, when I was I was after college, I went on a pilgrimage. When Ben and Jerry's first came out, I was so excited about Ben and Jerry's ice cream that I drove to Vermont. I think it was Mount Pelier somewhere. To the Ben and Jerry's factory, just so I could see how the stuff was made, just so I could be part of it. And it was so funny. It was such a, like, a hippie factory. You know, they'd have a little film strip at the end of the tour where you'd sit in a little room that looked like a hippie living room from the 70s, you know, and they'd show a film strip and it'd just be like Ben and Jerry be narrating it, and it was sort of really cute, like sort of like, what should we put in this flavor, Ben? I don't know. What do you want to try? But what my point is I only stick with the classic Ben and Jerry's flavors. You know, I respect the original Ben and Jerry's flavors, because after they sold out to some, I don't know who makes the ice cream now, but it's not them, because we've asked Ben about it, because I tried to get him to make a half gallon, and, you know, he said I got nothing to do with it anymore, and then we hung up on him. It was awkward. But, you know, they've since created a slightly larger size than a pint. I don't think it had anything to do with me. Anyways, the flavors are too complicated, Riley. After a certain point, you got to draw a line. You got to have boundaries. You know, I mean, when the flavor is like, you know, banana ice cream with fudge chunks, caramel, cheddar goldfish, pennies, a comb. You know, at what point do you say, look, that's too much stuff in ice cream?
Look, I like straight up flavors. I don't like mixed stuff. I don't like chunks in the middle. Right. My favorite ice cream is eggnog. I mean, and that only comes out like 2-3 times a year.
Eggnog ice cream. You got to wait, don't you?
Ice cream, man. It's like Thanksgiving and Easter, maybe around the Christmas holiday. And after the end of January, that's the end of the eggnog.
You're a weird guy. Now, we mentioned something about being on the train with people wearing face masks to stop themselves from from not getting sick. We have someone on the phone. We got Mike in Madison listening to the Mike, who's got a comment about brown spots on face masks. Mike, what's on your mind, dude?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
I'm not sure if we're thankful yet, but what do you have to say?
Come with it.
Well, I listen to you guys in the morning when I'm on my way to work, and I can't call in, so I'm glad to have the opportunity. What started me off with you guys today was the face mask, and you're talking about the brown spot.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, you know, people that don't wear the masks have to realize that brown stuff on their mask, that's what they're breathing in.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Sitting here and the clear skies.
Right. So I get what you're saying, that, you know, so that sort of should be a billboard for everybody to wear a face mask, because that is what's being filtered out of the air that guy's sucking into his head.
That's right. And stuff that's just getting worse and worse.
That's right. And it's not going to get any better. Watch me segue to politics.
Uh-oh.
Because the Bush administration, the neocon death cult, is pulling back on environmental regulation and allowing people to dump more stuff into the air. So pretty soon, not only is that spot on the face mask going to be brown, it might be green and glowing. How bad is that going to be? Okay, so Riley, we're going to come back with, we got Alan Greenspan. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We got the restricting victims' rights.
And we've got Lawton Smalls, a gentleman from a certain planet that is not of our own.
Freak! 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition, fighting treason with the Weezer. This is Air America Radio.
Back. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
You're listening to Morning Sedition's version of last week's Randy Rhoads show. Mark and I were on Randy Rhoads last week, and we're on tonight again. So we're playing you last Fridays because you miss that. I know you're missing us this morning, but it's the best thing for everybody. Believe me. Now, also, I want to say today is the last day we're on the morning drive in Boulder, Colorado. Our affiliate in Boulder is moving us to the middle of the night, and they're replacing us with a local guy named Jay Marvin. All right, that's their decision, and we'll deal with it. In fact, our listeners have actually enthusiastically responded to Jay Marvin. Here's some feedback we got on our office voicemail.
Yeah, this is Jake in Denver, Colorado. It's official on February 28th. You guys are not going to be on the air. They're replacing you with some jackass named Jay Marvin. Complete idiot. I can't believe they're doing this. It's a bunch of bullshit. They kicked this guy out. He used to broadcast in here. They kicked his ass out because he sucked so bad. Now they're going to bring him back in. It's ridiculous. I wish there's something I can do, man. This guy's an idiot. You got to get him off the air. All right. I'll miss you guys. Goodbye.
So enjoy Jay Marvin. Sounds like they're in for a good time, doesn't it, Riley?
Oh, yeah.
So Now we got to go back to the Randy Rhoads Show. It's me and Mark and I on the Randy Rhoads Show last Friday. We'll be on it again tonight. Enjoy.
Get well soon, the great Randita.
That's where the, Riley all of a sudden out of nowhere yesterday comes out with his nickname. We're hosting Randy's show. He's like, ah, the great Randita. I'm like, where does that come from? Is that something that's on our show? He's like, no, I just made that up. That's my nickname for it.
Yeah.
So, folks, listen, you know, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, which is clear, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. And we, on our show, we have a staffer who actually, you know, lives in that world. And he usually calls us in the morning. And I had no idea that he would be up, but maybe he's up all the time. But so now on the phone, as usual, we have Planet Bush correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good afternoon, Lawton. It's afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark. I tell you, God's got you on the table. And he's doing a synectomy.
Okay. Very good. Wait, why do you sound a little somber? Am I mistaken?
Yeah.
Why are you so somber?
Yeah, I heard about Randy Rhoads. Now, she was shrill and annoying and a tool of the socialist left, but I knew you were close. And I'm sorry for your loss, Mark.
Wait, what are you talking about, man?
I know this is a hard time for you, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. His wonders to behold.
Wait, back up. Lawton. Randy had surgery. She's at home. She's on medication. She's having the best time possible recovering from surgery.
She went home, but it was to her heavenly home.
Whoa. No,
she left the cares, worries of this world behind her. Now she's got her own room above God's garage.
Whoa. No, stop it. Lawton, Randy is fine. Okay, where'd you hear about this, buddy?
Mark, I read her obituary on Talon News.
Oh, okay.
So there is no possibility of a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happened. It said Randy was walking in Central Park, and one of Christo's orange gates fell and crushed her skull.
No.
I knew those things were a disaster waiting to happen. She was killed by art.
What do you... Lawton, pull it together. Now, I'm just curious, buddy. Wait, now, what do you read? I mean, Talon News, all right.
Like everyone, I read all of the conservative blogs, Newsmax, WorldNet Daily.
Okay.
So there's no chance could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They fact-check everything three times with three different members of the Bush administration. The information is as solid as week-old elephant poop.
Poor rat.
Killed by art.
Oh, stop it. Just stop it. All right, none of those blogs are accurate, Lawton. Okay?
Do you really think now is an appropriate time for your liberal
school? Oh, would you stop?
Randy's death will probably be the end of Air America.
No.
I know no one's picking up this network, that you'll probably be out of work real soon.
You
can't go on with three affiliates.
Lawton, wake up, man. We have 48 affiliates. We're getting more every... 48!
Three?
Stop it. It's 48. You can't spin it your way either. We're getting more affiliates every week, my friend.
I know this, too. You're funded by Bin Laden.
Oh, stop it.
He's got deep pockets, but he's not just going to throw money down this rat hole much longer without an audience. Poor Randy.
Oh, wait, okay.
Poor,
you know what?
Randy.
I get it, Lon. I get it.
Poor thing.
You listen,
killed by art.
You listen to her every day, don't you, Lon?
Oh, no. It's the best 4 hours of my life.
Oh, no.
I love bachelor movies. I do it at home.
Okay.
I'm so scared for her. Did she get my flowers?
I don't know. I'll
Did
ask
she
her.
Flowers?
I'll ask her. She,
the
take it easy, man. Please. She's going to be okay, all right? She's probably listening right now. Okay?
Really?
Yes.
You think she's listening?
I think she might be.
I say, Randy, you're fine, girl.
Oh, boy.
What a
all
good
right.
wife
all right.
would be.
All right. All right.
By my love,
oh,
the lover,
no.
my lady.
Oh, no. Okay. She's not going to get better that way, all right? So please, just pull it together. We understand how you feel. All right? You all right? Yeah. What's up?
I've been saying public art is dangerous
all
for
right.
years.
Okay. All right.
All of it should be taken.
All right. Goodbye, Lawton.
Dangerous.
Goodbye, Lawton. Thank
Randy,
you.
God loves you.
All right, good. You take care, Lawton. Lawton Small, very, very broken up he was.
Yeah, he sure was.
You know, I was thinking about this Gannon. This what's his name? Jeff Gannon.
Jeff Gannon.
Guckert. Jim Guckert, his real name. You know what's weird is that we had a call on our show yesterday, and I really wish. You know, this guy was like, you know, it's only a matter of, I hope this is the tip of the iceberg. I hope they find members of the entire Bush administration in compromising positions with this guy Guckert. I want to see the photographs, and I'll tell you something. This administration and the neocon death cult in general and the propaganda wing of the neocon death cult is run so tightly that I see, and they've got some people so brainwashed that they're, a photograph could come out of Jeff Gannon with Karl Rove and George Bush in some sort of strange naked threesome. And about 50% of the people of this country would see it and go, look what the liberals did.
Yeah.
See, look at what they made those two do. Look what they made them do. They put something in the water. Who knows?
Well, you know, there are real pictures, apparently, of Gannon.
I know, I saw
them. Oh, you saw
them? Yeah, I saw them.
What was that, buckprivates.com?
I don't know what it was.
Military.org? I don't know.
It's not my cup of tea, but I'm saying even if it was, not hot. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? It's not hot. There's nothing going on there. I don't think so. So let's talk about this. Explain to me. Alan Greenspan, the head of the Fed, yesterday said, how can you, you know what's amazing about anybody who's involved in politics in any way is that they have this technique of saying something that, can't someone make a definitive statement for God's sakes? How could it be difficult to understand whether he's for it or against it, Riley? Can you flesh this out for me a little bit?
Okay, here's what happens. It depends on which media outlet you read or see or hear the story of Alan Greenspan's, statement Thursday. That on the one hand, he says Social Security is not in crisis, but he does support the idea of privatizing Social Security. So he ends up playing both ends, I guess, against the middle. He also says he backs making Bush's tax cuts permanent, but he also says there's a big deficit problem. So, I mean, you know, where are you supposed to? I guess he was just doing something for everybody.
It's almost, he's being cryptic on purpose, so everyone could read it their own way. Now, let me understand something, if you understand it the same way I do. He's not saying that the plan that Bush has for privatizing Social Security is exactly right. He does encourage bulking up 401ks, but he says if it's just, straight out privatizing of Social Security, you're basically borrowing the money anyways, and that's not quite the way to do it, right?
Well, he is a deficit hawk. He does not like the idea that America's running a $427 billion deficit.
I don't like it either, because, I don't have any credit debt.
Yeah.
And it bothers me that the country I live in can't keep its books straight. What kind of BS is that?
It's in that deep hock. But see, the other thing that scares Greenspan a little bit is the potential cost of this privatization. We're talking about something on the order of $1 to $2 trillion.
Unbelievable. Now, what I want to focus on now is that, this Social Security thing, this is all we've been talking about. The mainstream media maybe picks up one story a week that has any sort of teeth to it and then takes the teeth out and repeats it over and over again. Now, with Social Security, it's starting to look now because yesterday the lawmakers, delay the bug-killing midget king of the neocon death cult legislative pig pack and his boys have decided that they are going to put through phase one of the restricting victims' rights program that George Bush is thinking about and actually legislating. Now, I think that all this Social Security talk was to really distract people. I mean, they knew this was a lame duck. They knew that it wasn't going to go through. So they just kept all this stuff going. And now what they've done is phase one of restricting victims' rights is now being signed into law.
The House passed it yesterday, 279 to 149. It's the first victory of Bush's 2005 and forward agenda. Of course, the Senate voted 72 to 26 for that bill on February 10th. There were no amendments that were tacked onto it. The House, a delay in Hastert, said no amendments, we'll pass it. That means it goes straight to Bush, he signs it. Now, what this particular piece of restricting victims' rights does is give federal judges the ability to take away class action lawsuits from the states. What they're trying to say is, well, we're going to stop people from state shopping for the, in these class action lawsuits, looking for states where juries have a history of giving big awards. The federal court system has a tendency to give lower awards than state courts do.
So this was signed into law today, and the way that they're spinning it is essentially that, look, lawyers are using the states that they can go to any state they want where they think they'll get the highest awards. Now, not only is that, undermine, the legitimacy of juries in anywhere you go. I mean, this is, it doesn't matter what state you are. There are 12 people there trying to decide something that are your peers. Yeah. All right, so that's the first thing. And this is language that, is stilted against lawyers as usual because lawyers being, tremendously big Democratic supporters, and Democratic fundraisers. And that's number one. Number two, there's no indication that any of these lawsuits are even, certainly in terms of malpractice, they don't have any, nothing affects the price of health care. But in these particular things, by moving it to the federal level, is that they this is basically a gift to corporations. This is a gift for corporations to say, look, you got a little more leeway here. It's going to be harder when you hurt people for them to take a chunk out of your bottom line.
Well, who benefits from this? Who are the targets of class action lawsuits most regularly? The tobacco industry, the asbestos industry, the oil industry, the chemical industry. These are the businesses that have been targets of over the last decade or so of multi-million dollar class action lawsuits. The tobacco industry in particular has lost some, and they're not happy about it.
Well, how do you like that? The neocon death cult's legislative pink pack is just giving you a present, corporate America. How's that? Is that good?
Thank you.
This is ridiculous. When is it going to stop the slippery slope to the pit?
Will you elect somebody else president?
So that was, of course, R. Lawton Smalls. That some people they thought he was real. Some of Randy's listeners actually wrote on the blog, "How dare they let that guy say that about Randy?"
Wow. Well, you know, my daughter also thought Lawton was a real guy too. So
how old's your daughter?
8.
Well, that's about right. I mean, that's how old you should be to think he's a real guy. It shouldn't take that long to not know that. I'm not even going to tell who it is. Maybe it is a real guy. We'll be back with more of Morning Sedition on Randy Rhodes after this.
Morning Sedition on Air America
Radio. Back. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to us on Randy Rhodes last Friday. We're going to be on it again this afternoon. You know, we talk a lot about the plot to ruin Social Security on Morning Sedition, and we didn't leave it out during our hosting stint on the Randy Rhodes show last Friday, so here's more of us. Brandy's doing well. She's at home. She's recovering. She's out of the hospital. She's medicated. She's happy. All right, you know, that's an interesting issue about Social Security and that Republican talking point, because it's true with a problem with getting health care for many seniors. Many seniors who aren't insured cannot get health care, and even some of them who are can't get health care because their particular form of dying does not fit into the program they might be involved with, which is sad because, you know, I've always said that the Republican Party believes in evolution. They're absolutely sure that poor people will adapt to whatever crap they put them through. And now, with Social Security, you if they get what they want, which they won't, thank God, it basically comes down to, you know, hey, you want to just, you know, get a little bit of money a month on a consistent basis, or do you want to take a shot at the wheel? Oh, sorry, Grandpa, doesn't look like you know. What's the matter? Oh, that's too bad. You know, I guess he didn't have the proper health coverage, but he almost made it. Now, what we were talking about before, the bug-killing dwarf king of the neocon death cult legislative pig pack, Mr. DeLay and Mr. Hastert, the head of the pig pack.
The clever twins.
Yes, have decided that to increase taxes or to adjust the payroll taxes over the future time that might make it balance out a little bit is unacceptable.
Yeah, they're saying it's unacceptable. Now, what's interesting about this for the Bush administration is this, Mark. On Tuesday, and we talked about this on Morning Sedition, Ken Mellman and the RNC sent a group of Republican senators back home to their district because, you know, this is the President's week recess that's coming up. Congress is not in session. So they go back to their home districts with all these talking points, with bars, with graphs, with slides. Shows the whole nine yards about Social Security privatization. Uh-huh. Now, these are Republicans in the Senate. At the same time Republicans in the Senate are being encouraged to stay on the ranch, here comes DeLay and Hastert getting off the ranch, saying that, because remember, they are reacting to the president saying, well, maybe we can slide that top number up a little bit from $90,000, maybe up it as high as $200,000. I think Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, has a proposal that would raise it to $200,000. And there are other people talking about it. Increasing it to $140,000. AARP says $140,000 would work. DeLay says, no, this is a tax. We won't go for it.
Is this a strategy, Riley, though? Is there not? There's a couple of different plans on the table, I'm imagining, and they're just basically saying that the plan that involves increasing taxes is not ever going to get past this particular Republican pig pack. Am I right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. When asked about this, DeLay, when asked whether or not they would lift the cap, DeLay said, no, because we're not going to do that. When asked why, he said, quote, this is a tax increase. If he, when he was asked if it would go with his caucus, whether his caucus would accept it, he said, quote, nope. Not at all, unquote.
Right, because they can't figure out how to get the old people's money into the pockets of Republican donors. Is that the problem with this?
Well, they want, in the end, DeLay, I believe, really wants a full privatization scheme to be put in place, because eventually DeLay and Hastert want to cut benefits. They, you know, they talk about, oh, no, there's no benefit cut in Bush's plan. The bottom line is eventually someone with these private accounts will find that their benefits will get cut, and they won't tell you that there's a risk if the stock market goes sour for any length of time.
So
these people are going to lose their money.
Yeah, you know, the sad thing is, it's like, is that what you want when you finally retire? Do you want all of a sudden, you know, you want the doorbell to ring and you open the door and someone's here with, like, several different options on how you want to invest the money that you have put aside for your retirement? Is that what you want to do? Sort of, like, drain yourself over portfolios? You know, wonder whether or not you can trust the government to take a risk, you know, with your money? You know, and there's a couple of different packages. You can bet it all. You can bet half of it. I mean, it just seems to me the whole thing stinks. But now that there's a stalemate, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Russ.
Well, no, there's another component to this, and we talked about this also on Morning's Edition either earlier this week or last week. There is the question of how long it takes the government to actually process all this stuff.
Yeah.
In other words, to take the money out of your regular Social Security benefit, turn it into a personal account, and then put it, you know, give it over to whatever investment banker is going to invest the money. It could take as long as 2 or 3 months.
It took that long in my head, just now. Yeah. Like when I was thinking about it, it took like at least 3 months.
Yeah. So what happens? What happens if the market changes during that 3 month period?
Yeah.
You know, the way these things are accounted now, the investments are not going to come fast enough, even under ideal circumstances.
Yeah. And now, what we were saying before is that now that there's a stalemate in the legislature around Social Security, all of a sudden today you wake up and like, oh my God, they've restricted victims' rights. Phase one is done. No more state courts can take on these big lawsuits against corporations where people are really hurt. What are they going to do, Riley? How are they going to spin this? I mean, even when it comes to malpractice suits, you know, where they're going to try and put a $250,000 cap on victims' lawsuits against, you know, pharmaceutical companies, like that guy we talked to a couple of weeks ago on Vioxx. He had two strokes. He can't see in one eye. He's having trouble. And, you know, just because he took a pain medication, and the most that guy can get is $250,000, so a pharmaceutical company can work it into their bottom line, and no justice is ever done. How are we going to hurt these bastards?
And there's a side benefit for the Republicans of draining trial lawyers of money that they normally give to the Democrats. A lot of what you see the Republicans trying to push on, right down to, by the way, restricting felons from voting in certain situations, the whole idea of immigrants getting driver's licenses, all these things are looked to establish this Republican majority that Ken Mellman and Karl Rove and the rest of these guys want to establish for well beyond the time George W. Bush leaves office in 2009.
I'll tell you, though, there's enough stupid people in this country. They could spin in their direction. The pharmaceutical companies could put, like, a disclaimer on this medications that aren't tested properly. You know, they could put, like, hey, you know, there's an outside chance you could win $250,000 if you get the right kind of sickness with this medication.
There
and people
go.
Are like, I could win? I hope I get sick. Coming up, more from us on the Randy Rhoads Show, Morning's Edition, Radio Theater, Liberal Confessional. We'll take it to Necroponte. It's 57 past the hour.
Morning's Edition, fighting treason with the reason. This is Air America Radio.
What is it, Bob?
Good morning. It's 6 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Mark and I are actually sleeping in different places, of course.
Yes.
But we were on the Randy Rhoads Show last Friday. That's what you're listening to. We're going to be on Randy Rhoads tonight as well. She's still out sick. She's getting better, though. You know, I don't know, Riley. You didn't get to watch that HBO documentary.
No.
The Left of the Dial.
Yeah, I want to see it, though.
You're going to. A lot of it, you really get to know Randy Rhoads pretty well, and she handled herself pretty well as the underdog, as the elevating star of Air America Radio.
Well, that is what she is, isn't it? She's the queen of media.
That's absolutely. She had a little accident during her show a couple of weeks ago. Her producer, Tim, actually told us about it, and he was pretty intent on having us recall the incident on her show. We are here on the Randy Rhoads Show. Randy at home from the hospital, recovering nicely from surgery. I was just told that she threw up on her board, I guess, a week ago, and I am touching it. Okay, so Here we go. I know, Tim. That snot came out of her nose. I get it. Yeah, he's making the motion, and I can see.
It makes the story better.
I'm sorry. Okay, so liquid flew out of Randy's nose all over where I now have my papers.
Had the slow drip. You had to get the whole thing in there. You're ruining the story.
I'm ruining it.
Start again.
I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah, apparently, Randy ate some vitamins and blew snot out of her nose. It dripped onto the board, and now I'm touching it.
But
and
it's all clean now.
Yeah, after I wiped the water, I spilled off it with my hands. Hey, is this a little fun? Is this the fun at the Randy Rose Show? You're all sitting there going, oh, he's touching where she spit up.
Why do you think we were laughing to the
I thought it might have been me. But thank you very much, Tim, for making me doubt myself even more. Now, I'm very confident. We're having a lovely time, and thank you for giving us the opportunity. We're happy to help out here. Right now, we're going to do something for you. It is called the Morning Sedition Radio Theater. It is a serial in the form of the old noir radio shows where I have set out on a journey. I am a gumshoe, and I've set out on a journey to find Colin Powell, and if all sorts of intrigue unfolds. And there, you can go to our website at morningsedition.com to hear some of the other episodes. But I've come upon a shadow government, and now we'd like to play for you one of the episodes of Morning Sedition's Radio Theater.
The Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of The Shadow Government.
We last left Mark at Agent Henriette Mantell's penthouse apartment above Washington, D.C. Bill Clinton and Barbara Boxer had told him about their efforts to take down the Shadow Government. We join Mark now after a night alone with Henriette.
When I woke up the next morning, the bed was as empty as a Sunni's ballot box. Agent Mantell was gone. She left a message written in lipstick on the mirror. All it said was,
Mark, go to Bush's Crawford, Texas ranch. If you knock on the front door of the blacksmith shop, you'll find a piece of the puzzle. Bush has been relying on it since the day. Continued on bathroom mirror. He took office. I left you a plane ticket and traveling money on the dresser. I'll be in contact, but don't look for me. Your safety depends on it.
Money on the dresser? I felt used, dirty, taken advantage of, like a cheap whore who... Wow, that was a lot of money. I guess I was headed for Crawford. Crawford Ranch. So this is where the president spends 90% of his time. Guys like me don't fit in places like this, on some dusty street with nothing around. I felt more out of place than Laura Bush on an anti-gang task force. I knocked on the door of the blacksmith shop, like Henriette told me. And it happened. The entire front of one of the Western-style buildings fell down, revealing nothing. It was all a facade, a Western movie set. And standing behind it was Jeff Gannon himself, dressed in a Marine outfit with the crotch cut out.
What are you doing here, Marin?
Gannon, or should I say, Guckert. I'm not surprised to see you hiding behind a facade. That's what you do best. How do you know my name? I don't hire male escorts.
I know your name because that's a reporter's job.
Like I said, how do you know my name?
We're going to teach you not to stick your nose where it doesn't belong.
Who's we?
Let me introduce you to some friends of mine.
Out from behind another false front stepped an Indian chief, a policeman, and a cowboy. They lined up right in front of me. I hadn't seen anything that ridiculous since I read Bush's plans for Social Security. Let me guess. It takes a village, people.
You're fast with wisecracks, peepers. Let's see how fast you learn your lesson. Hit it, Tex!
The cowboy started firing.
Dance, you nosy liberal private dick! All right, now jazz dance! Now we want to see you do that turn again, but at the end, just go right into step, shuffle, ball, chain, instead of pausing for a beat.
You mean like this?
Yeah, that's it. Actually, let's see you try a leap there instead of a simple step.
Come on, Gannon. Spill it. Why is there a fake ranch here? If the president doesn't spend 90% of his time here, where has he been?
You're a smart guy. You would have figured it out eventually. Too bad you won't live long enough. Now, do a handspring into a split.
That I can do!
Hop on, partner!
Howard Dean!
The resistance has got your back, Mark!
Your days are numbered, Marin! And I haven't seen anyone with that little rhythm since Colin Powell!
Did he say Colin Powell?
Hey, what's that stencil on the side of that fake house?
Inauguration Studios, Hollywood, USA.
I've heard that name before.
You're going to Hollywood, Mark. It's becoming part of the shadow government's conservative media conspiracy.
But what can I do about it?
You've got to help out some friends of the resistance out there. Important people. Liberal show business people. Also, your agent is sending you out on an audition. It's a sitcom where you go to college with a monkey.
Really? A monkey? That might be good.
Where has Bush been instead of Crawford Ranch? What will Mark find in Hollywood? And did he remember to bring headshots and a resume? And did Jeff Gannon really have to have the crotch cut out of his uniform? Was that strictly necessary? Find out next time when we hear Jeff Gannon say,
"Is there a draft in my pants, or am I just happy to see myself?" You get it? Because I've got a big hole in my... Millionaire Six!
That's next time on The Shadow Government. And stay tuned later for Morning Sedition Radio Theater's remake of the Orson Welles classic radio stunt, The Alien Invasion from The War of the Worlds.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have an urgent announcement. Stay in your homes. Keep your doors closed. Do not look out your window. Stay off the highways and all public transportation. Keep your children close by. If you're driving in an automobile right now, pull over and park. Ladies and gentlemen...
Riley, what are you doing? Are you trying to trick people into thinking there's an alien invasion?
No! I want to be home in 15 minutes to watch the Jerry Springer Show, and I don't want to hit traffic. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an urgent announcement. Stay in your homes.
That's coming up later on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
That's Morning Sedition Radio Theater. We do that on Thursdays and Fridays on Morning Sedition. Right now we're hosting the, what'd you call it? The Randita?
The Great Randita!
Unbelievable. Oh, nice. Very nice, Tim. He comes out with that the other day. It was hilarious. I'm saying, we're going to host a Randy show. Are you nervous? He's like, no, the Great Randita? I'm like, where the hell did you get that? She call herself that? He's like, no, I just made it up.
She's the queen of radio, man.
Riley's a big fan. He gives it, you know, see, when I get done with my show here at Air America, you know what I do? I go home and not think about Air America. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not a good liberal. But believe me, after being here from 4 in the morning, all right, until 11 in the morning, all right, having to go through the entire cycle of my insecurities and then, of course, to fester on the emails. Okay. We'll get back to Randy and show in a second. But let me just tell you, I do have the problem with the email speedballs, Riley.
Yeah.
You know, where you go through the emails like, ooh, good one. Ooh, love, love, love. Ouch, hate. Ooh, good one. Love, love. Up and down, man. Up and down. I got to get off it, man.
I ignore all of them.
I know you do. I got to. Okay, I'm gonna, that's what I'll do. I'll try that. Okay, we'll be back with more of Mark and I on the Randy Rhoads Show after this.
Morning Sedition on the air and online. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Did you know?
We're back. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
The show is Morning Sedition's version of the Randy Rhoads Show from last Friday. Mark and I are going to be on Randy Rhoads again this evening. That's why we're sleeping now. So now, you know, the Pope apparently is back in the hospital. I don't want to be crass or rude or sacrilegious, but the Pope is pooping out, my friends. And also, he just put out a big tell-all book. Apparently, there's a lot of evil in the world that still needs to be reckoned with.
To me, he's just going too far with the whole, with the whole gay thing. It just sounds homophobic to me.
You know, this will all be a fine segment if he doesn't die tomorrow. So now we got to go back to the Randy Rhoads Show. It's me and Mark and I on the Randy Rhoads Show last Friday. We'll be on it again tonight. Enjoy. Mark Riley, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man, but I was scared out of a year's growth just now.
What happened? How could that have happened?
I went by the newsroom here at Air America. Looked inside, and on one of the TV screens was the Antichristess herself, Ann Coulter.
No kidding.
She was on C-SPAN.
That's awful.
She's really fallen.
One of the guys that would confess to us, he'd probably just drop his pants immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. Some liberals, it's like they have domination fantasies with Ann Coulter in them. Now, what we are going to talk about John Negroponte in just a minute, but there's a couple stories that come out of the Vatican. Now, you know, on our show, we make fun of religion because we think it's funny. But not everybody does, you know. And the interesting thing is that, as Bill Hicks said, and if I could quote the great Bill Hicks, you know, if you're Christian, you know, forgive us. So now the thing that there's a couple things that I have a very big problem, as most progressives do, most Democrats do, most people that appreciate what America is built on in terms of separation of church and state. I have a problem with denying children a fact-based education and in place of that, you know, supplying them with religious retardation. I personally have a problem with that. And thank God there's an issue in terms of separating church and state. But the weird thing about it is they always talk about the evolutionary theory as, you know, not covering everything. It's just a theory, and it doesn't apply to everything. It can't explain everything. There must be an intelligent designer out there. There must be something that created it all.
God did it.
Right. Well, isn't that sort of like saying, it's so complicated, I don't understand it. It must be magic. Yay! But here's another thing. Now, on a more practical level, you know, out of the Vatican, there's some news that Pope John Paul II, they're saying that his suffering with Parkinson's disease as an antidote to the mentality that modern medicine must cure all, calling this a religion of health that is taking hold in affluent countries. What they're saying is that because he's working, because he's got Parkinson's, because he's 80-something years old, he can barely talk, but he's still out there working, that he's saying to the elderly of the world and to the Catholics of the world that the suffering is part of life, that you shouldn't believe that something's going to make you feel better or cure you or heal you. You just accept it, which fits right in with the whole Social Security plan of the neocon death cult, is that, you know, in this country alone, there's millions of uninsured seniors. There are millions of seniors whose insurance won't cover their ailments. So basically, the Pope is reaching out to them saying, buck up, deal with it. It's just part of the game.
Well, this is according to the Reverend Maurizio Faggioni, a theologian. And I didn't know this. They have morality experts at the Vatican. Specifically, at the Vatican's Pontifical Academy for Life. Now, I didn't even know he had an academy, or the Pope had an academy. But this guy Faggioni, Reverend Faggioni, is essentially saying, live with pain. You know, if you're in a rich country, you should not depend on medicine to make you feel better. You just shouldn't feel better.
Yeah, come on, depend on God.
Suck it up, old folks.
Yeah, but, you know, some people, like, it's interesting that there is that sort of belief. And out of there's a lot of things that go on in the Vatican that we don't really know. I mean, who would know? They had a recent conference on what, Riley?
Exorcism.
See, I didn't know that they were still doing that anymore. But apparently, you know, occasionally if somebody's acting crazy, there might be a demon inside them. It's not mental illness. Oh, no. How do you tell the difference? What, do you have to have a special, you know, clergy-type psychotherapist to say, no, this is just manic depression. It's not bowel.
Well, you know what? They're giving classes now.
Okay.
And this is the same thing, this Pontifical Academy. I didn't know about it. I don't know what the requirements are to become a part of it. But the Pontifical Academy is trying to clear up misconceptions about exorcisms.
Yeah.
And, of course, most priests in the Catholic Church do not, for whatever reasons, carry out exorcisms. But at this point, they touched on, during the course of this class, the pitfalls of driving the devil from someone's body. Marin, they must not have ever met you.
So, you know what? If you have the devil in your body, sometimes you got to say, dude, let me run it now. You run it later. You know what I mean? Everyone's got a little devil in their body. Come on.
Well, hey, you know, the whole thing about the one on the shoulder.
Sure.
The toss, he's like, go ahead, do it.
Yeah. The two sides of the conscience. But this is something real. This is guys sitting in a room with clerical collars on, with little books, little manuals that say, look, we got it. This is like a medical conference, like my dad used to go to, who was a retired doctor. They used to go to these conferences to keep up to speed on stuff. It's like, we want to get you up to date on new ways to exorcise demons.
Yeah. This is Exorcism Class 101.
Is it ridiculous, Riley?
It's a little strange.
Oh, come on, give it to me.
No. Wait. Let's hear these people out. Let's hear them out.
I feel something inside of me.
They're Catholic clergy people. Let us hear them out. They built all of those big churches, and they, the music sounds really good.
I need help.
Oh, my God.
Watch what I can do with my head.
Uh-oh. All right, now, first of all, exorcisms.
Here comes the pea soup.
Yeah.
Right.
They should be carried out in extreme sobriety.
Yeah.
That's it. You could qualify to do an exorcism because you don't drink.
Dude, right? I've done many exorcisms. What kind of women do you think I attract?
Well, there you have it. Now, the only tools you can use are a crucifix and a prayer.
Oh, see, I don't use those tools.
Really?
No. I usually use my charm.
Oh, no crucifixes?
No, I'm a lapsed Jew. Okay. We charm people. We charm the demons out of them.
And
See, wait, here's how you do it. It's like you say, look over here, demon. And the demon goes and you slip in its place. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Now who's in charge?
Yeah, but
right.
What happens if a priest shows up with a crucifix and a prayer and starts to try and get you out?
I won't disappoint him. They would say, I knew he was a Jew.
Oh, see, we'll see that.
That just feeds into what we always believed. All these demons, Jews, everyone.
No, they've apologized for all of that foolishness the Catholics have. They don't think of Jews that way anymore.
Oh, yeah, right, publicly. Come on. Come on, people. Jesus was a Jew. That bothers them. It'll bother them forever. Jesus was a Jew. He just started his own business. They can't deal with that.
Well, I think they have a little trouble dealing with the whole idea. You know, I one time actually had to leave a gathering of people when somebody called a Jew a Christ killer because I thought that was just, like, gross.
Look, I'm sure we had something to do with it, but it's not clear just how much.
It's all alleged.
Really. I mean, come on. There's no solid proof. So what I was trying to say was essentially, it's like, you shouldn't be mad at the Jews for killing Jesus. Maybe you should spin it the other way and thank us. Because think about it. If Jesus doesn't die, you don't have much of a story.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, man. We'll come back and talk about Necroponte. It's 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on the air and online. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Hi.
Before past the hour, we're back. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. You're listening to Mark and I on the Randy Rhodes Show last Friday. Hope you're enjoying that. We will be doing the Randy Rhodes Show again this afternoon if you want to tune in for that. We apologize to our regular listeners for not being here in person, but we're trying to help Randy out, and we need our sleep today.
That's right.
You understand. The woman's sick. She's fine, but she's out, and we're trying to help out. Also, today's our last day in Boulder. Sorry, Boulder. It was out of our hands. This fella, Jay Marvin, apparently is going to be on. It was, you know, we did what we could. But I hope you're enjoying Jay. I hear he's a real firecracker. Am I being sarcastic?
I hope not.
Okay. Here's a little Necroponte action from Ramon. Now, on our show, we got a guy who works for us named Ramon, who manages to hack into just about any Palm Pilot that he can in Washington and Blackberries, but for that means. You know, he came in today. He must have known we were doing the show. Came in today dressed as a standard CIA stooge guy. Comes in, hands us this Palm Pilot. We got John Negroponte scheduled for today. 6 a.m., wake up. Try to ignore the cluster of red laser sights targeted at my bald head. 8 a.m., call Porter Goss and Donald Rumsfeld. Tell them they don't have to call me boss. Dark Prince will be fine. 10 a.m., press conference. If reporters ask how I got the job as intelligence czar, tell them I made my bones in Honduras when you were still doing cheerleaders. I got torture chops, punk. Next question. 1 p.m., review current status of all 15 intelligence agencies, starting with the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the Defense Department. Eliminate whichever branch is most likely to side with Rumsfeld. 2 p.m., call the heads of each agency. Call the heads of each agency. In a friendly way, let them know that while the death squads are gone, I can activate my new freedom squad with just a phone call. Hello. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Good morning. 4 p.m., rehearse daily intelligence briefings for President Bush. Keep practicing until I can deliver it in under 20 seconds. And 6 p.m., set the budgets for the entire intelligence community. Run final numbers by Osama. Who's in the basement, of course. In the basement. That's where he lives. Osama bin Laden, if those of you know, the cave that he lives in, the basement of the White House. Every so often, you'll see a video. Now, we're going to see a video very shortly. That's what I'm anticipating, Mark Riley. With all this Porter Goss talk, you got Porter Goss saying that, you know, Iraq is a terrorist manufacturing plant. You got Porter Goss saying that it's still not safe at home. It's still not safe over there. They're setting something up. They're setting it up. We're going to have more terror alerts. They want to get something through the heads of America. I don't know if it's going to be to continue to push Social Security. They want to get the American people so pimp slapped so out of their minds with fear that they just do an alert and they can tell them literally to do anything.
They may not even have to do alerts after a while. They may just be able to, you know, go to that little chip in everybody's head and bam, everybody does exactly what they're told.
Beth, did you ever read Don DeLillo's book, White Noise?
Mm-mm.
At the end of White Noise, this guy's on some sort of pharmaceutical. He's taking so many of them that the side effect is that he can't hear, that he can't tell the difference between when something's said to him or when something really happens. So you could say, hail of bullets. And he'd be like, oh, no, he'd feel like he was being fired upon. That's what's going to happen to the American people. So let's get into this John Negroponte, which is what I call him, because Negroponte means black bridge, all right, if you translate it into Portuguese or Spanish or even Italian. But Negroponte means bridge of death. And seeing that he is the new minister for intelligence manufacturing for the neocon death cult, I'm going with Negroponte. Let's lay out the history of this bastard, because he's a dark dude from the old days of Reagan, from the worst of it.
Well, he is from the worst of Reagan. He represents the worst excesses of the intelligence community going back 20 years, a full generation. But the first thing we need to know about John Negroponte, Mark, is that he was George W. Bush's fourth choice. Bush was turned down by Robert Gates. He was turned down by Sam Nunn. He was turned down by William Barr. Fourth choice, John Negroponte.
And this, he's just nominated here. He's not the guy yet, but if it's the fourth choice, we're looking, he's probably going to be the guy.
He'll probably end up getting confirmed the same way Alberto Gonzalez got confirmed, the same way Condoleezza Rice got confirmed. Everybody will be able to go home and say, oh, yeah, I questioned him. I was tough on him. But he's going to get the gig.
But this dude, out of all those people, even, you know, somebody as, you know, arse-kissing as Gonzalez in making it okay for Bush to, you know, kill people, torture people, do whatever the hell he wants, Negroponte is a real dark prince of the, of, you know, really covert sickness that went on in Central America in the 80s. This guy, you know, has a real track record of being involved with some of the sickest stuff that this country has ever done, you know, covertly in the name of taking down governments within, you know, other countries.
Yes, covert operations. And if you want to see firsthand, up close and personal, what John Negroponte was like back then, there's a piece that was written by Don White from CISPES and Sister Letitia Bordes, who met with Negroponte back in 1982 when a group of nuns, actually it was 32 women altogether, they had fled the death squads in El Salvador after Archbishop Oscar Romero was assassinated in 1980. They took refuge in Honduras, and some of these women were taken, pushed into a van, and they disappeared, never to be seen or heard from.
That was the Oliver Stone film Salvador covered some of that. Wasn't that,
yeah,
that what that story was about?
Yeah. Now, Negroponte was there not long after that. He became U.S. ambassador to,
yes,
Honduras. Sister Letitia Bordes met with Negroponte about the plight of these women. Negroponte said, I have no idea what happened to them. Don't know. Don't have anything to do with it. You know, my
still
hands
says
are clean.
That. He still says that.
He still says,
okay,
that. Well, we did find out later on, further down the road, actually about 1996, I believe it is, that these women were, many of them, taken up in helicopters and thrown out of them.
Oh, my God.
Killed. And these were by Honduran death squads that operated under the auspices of the Central Intelligence Agency.
So Negroponte knew about it. He was facilitating it. Is that what you're telling me, Riley?
Well, he worked with a guy named General Alvarez, who was chief of the armed forces in Honduras. And, of course, Honduran soldiers were trained in psychological warfare, sabotage, and human rights violations, included but not limited to torture and kidnapping. Many of them were sent to the School of the Americas, a very infamous place where a lot of... How best to put this? Central American right-wing death guys learned their trade. Now, there was a battalion in Honduras called Battalion 3-16.
Mm.
It was headed by a guy named General Luis Alonso de Escua Elvir, a graduate of the School of the Americas. This particular battalion is the one that most people think was somehow involved in the deaths of these individuals. Now, this guy, Descua, ended up here in the States, along with several other members of these.
Oh, now I'm scared. You know what I mean? I can't, you know, it's like I do this show, I talk the stuff I talk every day, and that's one of my biggest fears, and I don't mean to put it out there, and I'm not being self-important in any way. But what's to say he's not going to have somebody show up at my door wearing a mask? It bothers me. It scares me.
Well, it should.
Oh, don't say that.
Look, these guys are some very, very bad people. You throw innocent women out of helicopters, and, you know, you kind of lose me. You kind of lose most people.
The Minister of Intelligence Manufacturing, they're going to put together freedom squads right here in this country, Mark Riley. And if you said, you know, if we speak our mind, who's to say that they're not going to show up in Queens?
Now,
I mean New Mexico. I mean Maine. That's where I live, in Maine.
Now, here's an interesting story.
New Jersey, Jersey.
An interesting sidebar to the the Negroponte situation.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, I'm calm.
In 2001, when he was up for nomination for a government post, suddenly, according to an article in the Los Angeles Times, there were several former Honduran Death Squad members who were in the United States who were suddenly deported.
Oh, good.
Sent out of the country.
Good. Yeah.
Now, these men, according to this article, could have provided some very interesting testimony against Negroponte in Senegal.
Oh, so it's bad.
I was
thinking about me initially, and now I'm thinking about the country. See how it works?
I think
we all deal with that.
Guess who was one of the deportees?
Who?
Remember the guy I mentioned that was the head of Battalion 316, General Luis Alonso de Escua Elvir?
So he's out. He's out of the country.
He was deported. They revoked his visa. And he was, by the way, deputy ambassador to the UN. And he has since gone public with details of U.S. support of Battalion 316. In other words, John Negroponte lied through his teeth
to
Sister Leticia Borders
in
saying he had no idea what was going on with these women who were so brutally murdered.
Didn't he also mislead Congress as well with this BS?
He misled everybody.
Okay.
All right? This was back in the era, you know, people thought it was patriotic to mislead Congress back then. Remember Ollie North?
There are some things we just should not know about.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's what the government is for, to keep things hidden from us, especially if it's messy. You know, they know best how to kill people and where.
Yeah. I mean, there were 185 dissidents who were just dug up in Honduras back in 2001.
Wow.
It looks as though from all the available evidence, they died on John Negroponte's watch.
They were kidnapped. Now, let's talk when we come back in a few minutes. Let's talk about the Salvadoran option, the Salvador option that was discussed about Iraq when Negroponte was in Iraq. Because clearly it was, they all know that this is the guy that's the guy for the death squad thing. But I think they're doing that now anyways with Rumsfeld's new plan.
Could we
explore that a little bit?
Yes, we can.
We'll have more about Negroponte when we come back. We also get our first taste of what a Randy Rhodes caller is like. We'll be back in a minute.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. Andrew Le-
Back. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
Morning Sedition. We're sleeping. Sorry. We're here in spirit. We are here because we're on Randy Rhodes' show this afternoon. We're playing for you our Randy Rhodes show that we did for her last Friday. This isn't going to be a forever thing. We're just helping out. We hope you're enjoying the show that we taped last Friday. Coming up now, we got our new bit, the headline translator. It's very exciting. Did I say bit? I meant our new machine. It's a real machine that we bought, and we set it up with the big music, the big powerful music that we're going to have P.W. McDonald redo, because I like it when he does it a cappella. I don't like the synthesized sound of the music we have now. You know what I'm saying, Riley?
The breaking news liner.
Yeah, I just want to hear him go, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. All right, we just got this brand new iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator, so I'm going to crank it up and feed it some headlines here. This is from the New York Times. Israel halts decades-old practice of demolishing militants' homes. Let's feed that in. All right. Israel halts decades-old practice of demolishing militants' homes. Oh, okay. Here we go. The translation. Israel earns real estate license, puts fixer-uppers on market.
Oh, God.
Yes. Hello. Okay. Here we go. From the Associated Press, fatal U.S. military accidents up in Iraq. Put that in there. Look at that same word. Fatal U.S. military accidents up in Iraq. Translation, six soldiers killed planting flag of freedom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Okay. You know, sometimes the truth is horrible.
Yes.
All right. From Reuters.
Reuters.
The right, you know, Roto-Rooters. From Reuters. Reuters. Landlord tosses tear gas grenade in house. All right. Let's see. Landlord tosses tear gas grenade in house. Man earns real estate license, puts fixer-upper on market. All right, back to Necroponte, who is nominated for the intelligence manufacturing minister of the neocon death cult. We have Sherry in Rhode Island on the phone. What's on your mind, Sherry?
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I'm not surprised. I'm just totally disgusted.
Yes.
It seems that every time I turn around, they have some, I don't know, cruel, vicious fascist that they're choosing from some top cabinet position.
Absolutely. It's unbelievable. It's almost like the mafia. It's like, how many people did you kill? All right, you're in.
Yeah, and I like, you know, you guys have brought up, and Al Franken has brought up, I'm a very big fan of the entire Air American.
Al who?
Yes, I listen to you guys every morning at work.
Oh, okay. Al Franken, the guy who's on earlier, right.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
but,
I met him twice.
I am so angry. It's like Hitler surrounded himself with the same type of people. I'm really angry. Necroponte, I mean, slaughtering nuns, come on.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. This guy, I mean, he's even worse. He's almost as bad as when they nominated Kissinger for the 9/11 commission.
This guy's like, still haven't figured that out.
They obviously feel they owe this generation of mass murdering fascists from this particular Republican.
They certainly do. Somebody to push their agenda, which is torture, whether it be inside the United States or outside of the United States. You know, traveling to Syria. What about that man from Canada?
No.
They torture and let go. It's just these people back up. There is no human rights.
That's right. They're outsourcing torture now to other countries. It's called extraordinary renditioning. If they can't do the torture here, they can go to a country that will allow them to torture them as much as they want.
Absolutely.
It's horrendous.
It's horrid. It's a nightmare, and I've done everything possible during the 2004. I mean, my husband and I even went to Washington.
Oh, wow.
For an ACT
Good
rally.
For you.
And,
Good you for know. You. Did you get a bracelet?
I got a lot of stuff. I helped register 7 people to vote this year.
Oh, good.
Unfortunately, it was like someone died on election day. So.
Oh. Yeah, well, thank you for calling, Sherry. It's great talking to you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, you take care. Well, you know, let's talk about the Salvador option there, because this was something that came up. This is something we had talked about, that they were going to institute something in Iraq that looked much like the death squads that they had in Honduras, which was small units that would go out and basically behave the same way that terrorists behave.
Yes.
Yeah, they would kidnap, they would torture, they would do whatever necessary.
They would do what they needed to do, either to get information. And, Mark, we've had so many people on our air who have talked about the fact that torture as a device to get accurate information from detainees does not work. What happens is when people get tortured, they say what they think you want to hear so the torture will stop, so that the pain will stop.
The only thing that it seems that torture does is enable the torturer to feel like, you know, a big man, to feel like they're, you know, that they're actually accomplishing something, and it's a slippery slope, will always get out of control, will always cause more damage, and there's just no excuse for it.
No.
It doesn't work, especially when they have medicine that can make people talk.
Absolutely. But see, in this situation, in George W. Bush's America...
It's not medicine.
Not exactly.
It's bad medicine.
But in the 21st century, what they're doing is employing, as you very correctly point out, 1980s techniques, 1980s templates to the war in Iraq.
So,
and who better to do it than John Negroponte, the guy who was there for both, okay?
It's the retro neocon death cult. It's just the retro con death cult. So they're actually drawing from pre-neocon death cult activities.
Yeah, what they want to do in Iraq is break the back of the insurgency, something that they admit they have not been able to do. And later on, we'll talk about Richard Pearl, Mr. They're going to erect a statue of George W. Bush in downtown Baghdad, and how wrong he was about all that. But what they are trying to do is say, okay, the use of force, the use of the Army and the Marines and the rest of these people, that's not working. So you know what we got to do now?
Yeah.
We'll break off into these smaller assassination, kidnapping teams. We'll take these people out. They're talking about the insurgents now. We'll take them out. We'll bomb their houses. We'll go after their families. We'll do what we have to do to break the back of the insurgency. Now, the problem with all this is, of course, that you're working in someone else's backyard. We're not doing this inside the United States. We're doing this in Iraq. The insurgents know their own turf, even some of the foreign fighters know that turf better than the United States does.
Mm.
So these kind of special forces organizations, they have to catch up.
Yeah. Now, we were talking before on the break And you were saying some stuff about how, you know, Negroponte leaving might send an interesting message, a bad message to not only, you know, the troops on the ground, the Iraqi people, but it might sign something, you know, for the insurgents to even get more, you know, aggressive.
Well, yeah. And remember, the 30 people, I believe it was 29, 30 people have died over the last 24 hours in separate car bombings and that sort of thing in Iraq. But the message that it's sending is, now here's the elections are over on January 30th. And less than a month later, the ambassador to Iraq cuts and runs and comes back to the States. Now, what is that going to say about how the Bush administration actually prioritizes Iraq?
Mm.
All right, because now they got to send another ambassador over there, assuming they don't promote from within. And my guess is they don't. Suppose the Iraqis take this as saying, you know what, maybe they're getting ready to cut and run.
Yeah.
Maybe the insurgents get emboldened by this.
They see it as a hole, a gap,
yeah.
an Achilles heel.
An opportunity.
That's the other word I was looking
yeah.
at. I would have gotten to it. I just hadn't gotten that up page of the thesaurus yet.
No, I mean, this could be something that would allow them to make whatever kinds of moves they're looking to make, whether it be against the government that is now trying to come in, you know, the people that were elected in to the National Assembly, whatever it is. Pulling Negroponte out of Iraq at this time sends a very interesting message to the Iraqi people.
It is kind of weird that they pulled him out. So the message, Riley, is that, you know, like, we don't care anymore? What do you think?
I think the message is you're on your own. It's a week later, and they haven't named the successor yet. That says something very direct.
Yeah, we'll probably have more on Iraq later this afternoon, but we're going to come back with the Dream Diaries, the Liberal Conventional Randy Rhoads style. It's 57 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hi, Al. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, working class heroes. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
We are filling in for Randy later this afternoon on the Randy Rhoads Show. We are playing this morning for you the Randy Rhoads Show that we did last Friday. So we probably are sleeping right now, but we're resenting it. But, you know, in our sleep, we were saying, I wish we were talking to our people live right now, but we're doing this for you instead. Also want to say goodbye to our listeners in Boulder. We were being pushed back there.
We're leaving there?
We are. They're shaving an hour off our time and sticking us in the middle of the night. We could do nothing about it. It was a programming decision made by the affiliate there, by Clear Channel. And apparently a local guy named Jay Marvin is going to be taking our place. And, you know, our listeners have enthusiastically, you know, responded to Jay Marvin. Here's some feedback we got on our office voicemail.
Yeah, this is Jake in Denver, Colorado. It's official on February 28th. You guys are not going to be on the air. They're replacing you with some jackass named Jay Marvin. Complete idiot. I can't believe they're doing this. It's a bunch of bullshit. They kicked this guy out. He used to broadcast in here. They kicked his ass out because he sucked so bad. Now they're going to bring him back in. It's ridiculous. I wish there's something I can do, man. This guy's a f***ing idiot. You got to get him off the air. All right. I'll miss you guys. Goodbye.
So, there you go. Enjoy Jay Marvin. Sounds like you're in for a good time. Now we're going to get back to our hosting gig on the Randy Rhoads Show from last week. Here's what you missed. This is my dream from last night. I'm driving around in an armored Humvee in Iraq with my dead cat, Butch, who was a girl, if you didn't know. I just mentioned that. And 50 of her cat comrades all wearing red berets. I say, where the hell are we going, Butch? Butch says, to the place of freedom, Mark. Mark Maron, freedom. We stop in the middle of this dusty little village and pile out. I'm looking around, nervous. Good thing I got my desert boots resold. Butch grabs a bullhorn. People of Iraq! The Americans have brought you democracy at the barrel of a gun, but today I offer you something better. She pressed a siren, and all the cats began yowling and humping and having filthy cat sex everywhere, blocking the street. Cats came streaming in from all over the village to join in. It was a real cat cluster. Yes, Butch says, behold the democracy of pleasure, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Expression, not repression. Erections, not elections. Comrades, this is the only parties worth joining. An Iraqi man shouts out, blasphemy! This is against religion. I didn't do it in an Iraqi accent, but I'll try to do it next. Bush says, no, comrade, it's beyond religion. Imagine Shiite, Sunni, Kurd, all moving to the beat of the same erotic drum. Free yourself of superstition. Free yourself of dogma. Do you wish to call out the words? Oh, God, I will show you how. Bush points to a woman in a full burqa. Awake, sister, and greets the new world. Bush took a razor sharp claw and tore off her veil. I yell, Bush, what the hell are you doing? Bush says, do you not know Mark Maron? She is beautiful, is she not? A group of angry men with guns was headed towards us. I said, come on, Butch, show's over. So we all pile into the Hummer and speed off, bullets whizzing around. From the passenger seat, Butch says, Mark Maron, I am so sorry. I said, that's okay, Butch. You get carried away sometimes. She says, I'm sorry we couldn't do this inside a mosque. I woke up, and my bed was filled with ticket stubs from Symphony Space.
Ooh.
Every day on Morning Sedition, a little poetry. Now, let's get into it. We got a couple of segments here before we go. It is Friday, and hey, this has been fun, Riley.
You know, yeah,
the afternoon thing. Yeah, people are here in the afternoon. We had cake earlier. Unbelievable. Now, some people have been asking, like, why is Negroponte bad? Who is this guy? Let's weigh it out a little more.
Well, look, Negroponte, quite simply, had a really bad reputation going back to the period from 1981 through 85 when he was United States Ambassador to Honduras. That was the same time when, A, the budget, the amount of money that the United States gave the Honduran military went from $4 million to $77.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a time that Honduran death squads came to be known in the U.S. media, and Honduras was used as a staging ground both by the United States and by those who wanted to overthrow the Sandinista government of neighboring Nicaragua.
So this is really the worst time. This is really a bad period in covert military operations at the behest of Reagan. A lot of dirty deeds were done down there in Central America and South America in these sort of weird kind of quid pro quo relationships. You had the Contra stuff going on. You had the death squads in Honduras and the Sandinistas. Let me just stop.
Well, the Sandinistas were the people that were, by the way, elected in Nicaragua in 1984.
That doesn't matter to the crazy conservative administration like Reagan. That doesn't matter. Elections just mean that somehow there was a mistake made. We didn't effectively stifle that.
Exactly. They wanted to get rid of them. And, of course, the United States government, and this has been documented, this is not speculation on anyone's part, the United States government was willing to make common cause with murderers and drug dealers to accomplish the end of getting rid of the Sandinista government of Nicaragua. And they certainly had no interest in pursuing any human rights violations that were taking place in Honduras, which was their staging area for their incursions against the
Nicaraguan. He denies it to this day. He misled Congress, he misled the country, and it was pretty clear. I mean, just by the fact that during Negroponte's tenure in Honduras, military aid jumped from $4 million to $77.4 million a year.
Yep.
Now, where was all that funneled?
Well, that was funneled, some say, to those death squads, allegedly.
Yeah,
but, of course, Negroponte doesn't know anything about any death squads. Everybody else does. Some of the people who were killed and injured and their families, of course, know about these death squads. And believe me, you know, the people of Nicaragua haven't exactly forgotten. Nicaragua and Honduras, they haven't forgotten all this. That's why Negroponte's appointment as the new intelligence czar is causing a great deal of consternation in Central and South America.
Mm-hmm.
These are folks who are saying, look, we just got over the effects of having Negroponte down here. You sent him over to Iraq. Iraq is, a quagmire. Now you're going to make him in charge of the superstructure of American intelligence. And we still don't know yet, Mark, exactly how he's going to divvy up the money and the power.
$40 billion.
With Donald Rumsfeld.
$40 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Rumsfeld likes his money. He likes to keep that intelligence money within the Pentagon, too.
Yeah, and my guess, if I were Porter Goss about now, I'd be wondering how many more congressional committees I'd be needing to testify in front of with Negroponte now, supposedly the overall intelligence czar. And believe me, if it comes down to Negroponte taking a piece of Rumsfeld's turf or Porter Goss's turf, guess whose turf he gets?
Now, this is just a nomination. Now, there were three guys that happened before him, right?
Gates, Nunn, and Barr all turned George W. Bush down cold. That would be William Gates. William Gates, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Barr and Sam Nunn, the former senator from Georgia.
So this is the fourth guy down on the list. And the real question is, Negroponte's appointment is especially, it's ironic in light of President Bush's repeated statements that Iraq is the front line in a war on terrorism. Wednesday, Porter Goss says that the war in Iraq has become a cause for extremists. There's a lot of confusion, I guess, with these idiots. But they like to do that. They like to confuse people. So there's, who do we blame? What's the truth? What's going on? You can never tell with these guys. They try to obfuscate the truth all the time, and they're going to put this guy in charge. And this guy, you know, he is, it's, you know, he may be nominated for the main guy in intelligence, but this really is that he is going to be the Minister of Intelligence Manipulation for the neocon death cult.
And he's
going to
sail through the Congress. By the way, it was Robert Gates, not Wingate. It's William Barr, Robert Gates, and Sam Nunn.
There you
the
go.
Three of them were up for this, were asked to do this gig. And they all said no. That's when they picked on Negroponte, brought him back from Iraq, and decided that it was time for him to fail upward, as has Condoleezza Rice and Alberto Gonzalez before.
That's right. This guy did more than make his bones. He was worse than that. He's worse than Condi Rice. He's worse than Alberto Gonzalez. This is like, you know, when they nominated Kissinger for the 9/11 Commission. This is bad stuff. This is like, you know, paying back a debt for some deep, dark, you know, covert conservative evil from just the conservative death cult. These guys, the neocon death cult, tipping their hats to Reagan's conservative death cult.
I want to know exactly what he's going to do about intelligence. Because remember something. John Negroponte, from a technical standpoint, is a career diplomat. He's not an intelligence guy. He says he doesn't know anything about death squads in Honduras. He was an ambassador. He was supposed to be a diplomat. He was a diplomat at the United Nations, a diplomat in Iraq. Why did they choose a diplomat to do intel? Well, you tell me.
Well, what kind of diplomat, though? The death squad is going to, my fear is that they're now going to say, well, we've got these new things called freedom squad. Here's how diplomacy works with a guy like Negroponte. Hi, hello, I'm here from the States. Oh, I'm sorry. You just didn't believe the way we did.
Yep.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I'm here from America. Why are you looking at me funny?
You won't be looking at me funny anymore.
They didn't believe the way we do.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Back, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
The show is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We'll be on Randy Rhoads' show this afternoon, and you are listening to the Randy Rhoads show that Mark and I did last Friday. As you know, no iPod for me either. I'm living it. I'm in the present.
You're
I'm having it right now.
iPod?
No iPods.
No iPods.
Even
okay.
though I did move all of my CDs here for reasons unbeknown to me. They were all in L.A. I figured I got to have them all with me here in New York, and that's one step away from I have to have every piece of music I own with me at all times.
Somebody got a hold of me. I'm not sure if it was an email or whatever. And offered to put all of my CDs onto an iPod.
See, you see what they're doing? They're trying to convert you, Riley.
I know.
These people are like Christians. They're like, they're the pod people. They're the podists. The podists are upon us. And they'll say to you, like, wow, what is that, a disc, man? Isn't that heavy?
Yes.
I mean, how many discs do you have with you? Yeah. Oh, you have a little flip book of CDs. Huh? Well, that's sad. You know what I have in this shiny white piece of beautiful machinery? I have 10,000 songs.
Yeah.
How many do you have in your little flip book of heavy CDs? Come see the light. iPod, three letters. I God. I am God of every piece of music I own. I'm not buying it. Step back. Stay away.
Well,
I don't need it.
I will do this one thing for the iPod people. For the people that podcast.
Yeah.
For the people that want to podcast
right.
Morning's Edition or the Randy Rhoads
show. Oh, that's a good thing.
Or any of the shows here on Air America.
That's a good part. Listen,
that
me.
Is the good use of an iPod.
Backpedaling. Oh, you can hear me on it? Well, in that case, I'm sure it's good for some people. Some people should have iPods if they can have the joy of Mark Maron in their head.
Otherwise, it's the work of Satan.
I'd love to be sitting across from somebody with an iPod on and me just going, God, what an idiot. Look at them with the iPod. And they're listening to me saying, what an idiot, with that guy with an iPod on. Wow, I just went into some weird mirror thing in my head. You know, when you remember the first time you actually put a mirror up to a mirror and like, oh, my God, infinity. Do you remember the first? No? Am I being weird? I remember when it happens at my grandma's house. And,
really?
Yeah. Anyways.
It was you too, Tim. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Really?
They have the grandparents always have those full-length mirrors on the walls.
Right.
It was like the 70s.
Right.
And so you could see, like, yourself, like, forever.
Right.
You
look to the side. Yes. And then you try and hide from yourself for a minute, and then you just stick your head around. It's like, oh, my God, there's thousands of me. Oh, that's the best thing. See, my sad thing about me is I still look into mirrors that don't have that effect, and I'm like, I'm everywhere. Look at me. I'm the master of everything.
Oh, my God. I did that in college. You guys did it young.
So we're going to talk when we come back. We're not leaving just yet. I wanted to make a couple of comments about the Symphony Space last night where I performed. We had a lot of Air America people come down who listen to the show, you know, religiously, our show, this show. And it was very funny because, like, before the show, people were shagging me, man.
Really?
Like, you know, I just went out to get some coffee. So, hey, Mark Maron, big fan. Look, I need you to take these. We made these for you. You know, they got this thing with these Kabbalah bracelets now. Is that what they are originally? The plastic bracelets. You said that Vivica, your daughter, has tons of them. You got a few of them on. So this is the new angle. You know what I mean? So this guy comes up to me with two of these blue bracelets. And one says, I think it says a blue state of mind. And the other says, I wish I were in a blue state. Or it was something blue. All right, but the idea is that this is going to have some impact. That the idea that this is going to have something like, here, wear these, it's important. Oh, is it important? The Republicans are putting $100 million into changing the brains of people daily. And this guy's like, the bracelet's going to, this is going to really do some things and turn everything around if you wear this. It was cute. It became a callback to my show. And then some other guy comes up to me and goes, Mark Maron, big fan, I got something for you. Okay? Because I've talked about, like, I love to play guitar at home with my little, my pod, too, and I pretend like I'm a rock star. And he comes up to me with a guitar pick. He says, I thought you'd like this. And he's a road manager for Survivor.
Uh-oh.
Survivor. Eye of the Tiger, right? But you know, now, I didn't want to be rude, so I'm like, wow, Survivor, where are they playing now? Disneyland? I mean, you know what I mean? What is it? But, you know, it was a nice guy. And it's like, so he gives me a Survivor pick, which is very nice. But and I'm going to mock him anyways. But it was a very nice thing to give me a guitar pick. And then he says, well, I got another one for you. And he gives me a Bobby Weir guitar pick. Now, Bobby Weir is the other guitar player, the Grateful Dead. Bobby Weir is the guy who, if you're a Deadhead, when Bob started singing, it was bathroom time. Do you understand? So I got Bobby Weir and I got Survivor, and I'm like, wow, things have really changed. You know what I mean? What happened to rock and roll?
So now you've got a swag collection.
I guess.
You got a swag collection. Hold on. A Bobby Weir pick, a Survivor pick, and what was the other thing?
The blue razor.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you broke my daughter's heart. She really believes things do something.
She does?
Yeah.
Well, Vivica, they do. Allison was at my show apparently last night. Allison, good morning, or good afternoon. I'm sorry. It's new for me. How are you?
New day, Dob.
What's that?
How do you like your new day job?
It's great. Are you kidding? I'm well rested. I have an entire evening ahead of me. Did you know that on Fridays, apparently, other people work at Air America?
You know,
yeah.
There was an ice cream cake here. There's parties going on. We get here in the middle of the night. We're lucky if there's the water thing works.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I had a great time last night. Did you have fun?
Yes, I did. Honestly, I walked off stage feeling that I was a little too filthy.
I never thought somebody could talk that fast. You made absolute sense.
Oh, God.
I have no idea what you're worried about.
Oh, God. I'm not worried about anything except the usual stuff. Why do I hate
me? It was great. I can't believe I'm officially called an Air America people. I never.
You are Air America people.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
So you heard me talk about my parents. You heard me talk about what?
Let me tell you the story about your dad, the gun, and the vitamins. I thought I was going to die. I never thought that anybody could actually compare the fact that you could live on vitamins and you could die with a gun at the same moment.
Apparently, you don't have a manic depressant in your life.
Yes, you do,
huh?
Plenty of them. Let me tell you.
Exciting because they'll gravitate to people. Manic depressives, they sense that they're like, oh, there's someone I can capture and entertain.
You know, I'll tell you something. The person that was with me, I love him to death. But I think there are like tendency there, so I think it got a little too close to him. If you know what I mean.
Oh, did you get a tweet?
Just a little close. You sort of reached there and you kind of pulled him out. And it was fun. And then the iPod and you dying.
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't just mention. I was just talking about the iPod. The bit she's talking about that I was doing about my father. My father, you know, he's a little erratic mentally, and I say that, you know, he wakes up early to hate. Like, you know, I was staying at his house, and I got up to get some water. It was like 5 in the morning. My dad's already at the table going, oh, my God, I'm screwed.
I can't believe that's a real story.
He's sitting there with his vitamins and with his revolver trying to decide which one is going to – what is he going to go to today? You know,
what is he going to choose?
I'll talk about the idea about iPod and death. Thanks for calling. Thanks for coming to the show. I really appreciate it, Allison.
It was terrific.
It was certainly great to have some of the fans from the show come out and see me, Riley.
I heard there were a few.
It was good, yeah. And I'm thinking about doing a run of Jerusalem Syndrome up at Symphony Space this summer. We'll be back with more of Mark Riley and myself on the Randy Rhoads Show after this. It's 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hi. We're back. It's 34 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
We are here hosting the Randy Rhoads Show from last Friday. This afternoon, we're going to be on Randy Rhoads as well. We're helping out. So bear with us for this week. I think this might be the last week. I'm not sure, but Randy's up sick. She will be back, and we are hosting her show. Right now we're sleeping. Thank you for giving us the freedom to do that. We miss you, but
yes.
We'll be back on Monday. Now, also, the Liberal Confessional is something we do here every week, and we know you guys love it, but we didn't know how Randy's audience would take to it, so here's that.
We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time, but when we need to unburden ourselves, we can always confess our liberal sins. If you want to take a turn in the Liberal Confessional, give us a call at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. But right now it's my turn. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I have sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Well, I need to confess that I finally learned how to behave properly in front of women. You know, I've learned not to be lewd or sexually inappropriate. Of course, being married helps with this. You know, and I've learned, you know, what comment is harassment and what comment isn't harassment or even borderline harassment.
Can you give me an example of what you have learned not to do or say, Brother Mark?
All right. Like, I would never again say to a woman, hey, if you're just going to cry, do you mind if I just play with those a little bit? Or say to a coworker, hey, can I give you a hand with that ass? You know, I just wouldn't say that anymore, Riley.
Well, that's a good thing. Why do you feel you need to confess this?
I just feel guilty because when they're not around, right? Like if I'm just hanging out with the guys or behind closed doors, I can still be a little piggish. You know, not always. Not a lot, but sometimes. Like last night I was at dinner with a buddy and the waitress walked away and I said, wow, I'd like to hold her down in a kiddie pool full of cherry pie filling.
But I know you, Brother Moore. You wouldn't ever actually do something like that.
Not on my rug. See, I just did it again. I wouldn't do it, but I made a joke about it, too, you know, too, because I'm a guy. Do you know what I mean? And there's that pressure to shock and act all hyper macho. I just hate the duplicity in me. I can't live with it.
Do you think you could fill that void in your conversations with meaningless sports statistics or car repair talk?
Nah, I don't know anything about that stuff. It's not really me. Hey, how about homophobia?
Mark!
All right. I know, I'm grasping at straws here.
I think I have a solution in your penance.
Uh-huh.
I want you to speak honestly to women at all times, despite the circumstances.
Oh, like how? Like what?
Perhaps when you're with your buddy at the diner and you make a lewd comment, maybe you should just tell the woman right there what you would have said to her if you'd not been so enlightened.
But wait, I can't tell her what it is I wouldn't say to her without telling her the exact thing I wouldn't say to her. Don't you see? I'm still saying it to her.
Well, you know what? You're right. Then attribute it to your buddy while he's in the bathroom. The important part here is that you've cleared your mind. I think you'd agree. The point here is your serenity. Not hers.
Wow.
And you'll also see how even your private remarks affect women.
All right. I can do that.
Amen. Now go forth and sin no more.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Riley. Now, if anyone else out there wants to confess and seek absolution or liberal confession, you can. Give us a call right now at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Nancy in Long Island, what is your sin?
Well, there's this show on the Faux News Channel called Newswatch,
on Fox
where
News.
Go over how the media covers news stories for the week, and I watch it.
Oh my God,
what?
Nancy,
I know.
It's a horrendous transgression.
And they lull liberals into security by having Cal Thomas say things like, "The New York Times is the most objective newspaper."
Oh, Nancy, there's only one penance for you, and it's a difficult one, but you have to watch all of Fox's programming for a week.
Oh, no.
Yes,
oh,
I'm sorry. This, you have to pay for this.
I have to watch.
You have to pay for this
O'Reilly
sin. Yes,
and
you have,
things like that.
Yes, and that, that I think that'll
all
teach you.
All of them.
I'm sorry.
God.
Okay, well,
oh,
you know, if you make it.
I will do it for you.
Okay, if you make it through it, give us a call back some other time.
Don't call you back, it's because.
You're one of them now.
I've gotten definitely ill and I'm on medication.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for calling. Good luck with your penance.
Wow,
that was a touching story of a person that watches one Fox News show because she thinks it's okay and she has distance from it, but it's still a sin, Riley. And not unlike my father, who said, smoke the entire pack if you want to be a smoker. You know, and I got sick and I smoked for 20 years.
Yep.
So, anyways, here we go. Zach, listening in Sacramento, what is your sin, Zach?
Hi, Mark and Mark.
Hey.
Got some guilt on my conscience.
Well,
I need to get off.
Okay, well, confess your sins.
I voted for the recall and I voted for the governor.
That is horrendous.
What?
Horrendous.
You sinner.
You should not. I cannot believe that. You voted for the recall, which was horrible in the first place. Then you vote for the governor, for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Y- Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awful. I don't even know what to... You know what you're going to have to do? Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get a prescription to steroids, and then you're going to have to sit at home and watch all of Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies, okay?
Oh!
Yes, all of them. All of them, and you're going to have to do it with your brain full of steroids, and then, you know, then cold turkey after that.
Woo.
Oh, man, that's a hard one. I think I can do it, though.
Yeah, but you got to pay, dude. That's horrendous.
Wow.
Yeah.
The recall and Arnold?
Awful.
I know.
You know what? I want you to go to Gray Davis's house and personally apologize as well.
that I think I should do. I've already written him a letter, actually. So.
Well, you know what? Go over there when you're all jacked up on steroids. And after you've watched a week of Arnold Schwarzenegger's, and just frighten him, but tell him that you're just there to apologize. But don't.
I'll do it. Thank you, Zach.
You bet. Thank you for coming to Liberal Confessional. That was a tough one. That was sad. All right, here we go. We've got Tommy in Queens. What's your sin?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Yes. How are you?
I'm okay.
What's your sin?
I don't even want to say it out loud, but the truth is that I think Jeff Gannon's really hot.
You think Jeff Gannon's hot?
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm mortified. But what are you going to do? He is.
Well, my God. Let's see. All right. Here's what you got to do. For the next month, every single fantasy that you have, every sexual fantasy that you have, all right, has to be about another well-known member of the White House press corps. Helen Thomas.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to Helen, but you know, this has nothing to do with her, okay? This is what you have to do to get this out of your head. You have to separate sex and state. You understand? I understand you may think he's hot, and I understand that that's the way you think, but this is not good to have in your head because it's a slippery slope.
I know. It's awful. I'm sure there's got to be some of them out there who think Dan Coulter's hot.
Hey,
Tommy. You know what? We do get those calls. Every week we get a call about Ann Coulter. But you know what? I tell them similar penances. So Helen Thomas, it is for a week, my friend.
Hey, Tommy, get rid of the pictures. All right.
You bet, Tommy. Good luck with that. I know that's a rough one.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
MilitaryStuds.com is a hard website to access.
Well, it's going to be hard for him because clearly, you know, he likes men. And now, you know, not only is it a woman, but it's Helen Thomas. It's going to be very difficult.
Wow.
But, you know, he might be up all night trying to. And you know, it might take him some time. So we just went right in the toilet. Francois in Texas, what is your sin?
Hi, yes, obviously Francois is my real name, and I'm not from France, but I thought it was appropriate.
Okay.
Bless me, brothers Riley and Mark, because I have committed an egregious liberal sin.
Okay.
I actually pretended to espouse Republican doctrine in order to be with this woman that I was seeing.
Isn't that interesting how well we know the other side's talking points? All right.
Wow.
So
was it Ann Coulter?
Oddly, she was the fantasy that I would engage in while with this woman. But which in and of itself is a sin.
Yeah, you got a couple of things going on here. There's so many things going on here. We're gonna have to take a break, my friend.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to take a break. We're gonna have to take a break and decide what your penance is, because I've got to meet with the other liberal clergy here to figure out what the hell to do about you.
I just wanted to do to her what Bush has been doing to the country for so many years.
That's
so.
A good paraphrasing of an old joke. That's another sin, stealing other people's jokes. All right, now. So you got three now, my friend. All right, you got using Republican talking points to have sex with a Republican woman, and then admitting that you would fantasize about Ann Coulter while having sex with this Republican woman, and then stealing a Woody Allen joke. Oh my God! This might take all day. We'll be back with his penance after this.
You're listening to Morning's Edition,
the highest-rated, most respected news show in America
on Air America Radio.
Let's land this thing. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on the Randy Rhodes Show from last Friday. Mark and I will again be hosting Randy Rhodes this afternoon. Apologies to our regular listeners that we're not here. Apologies that we're at home sleeping now so we can
do the Randy Rhoads Show with a certain clarity and resolve that we're known for. Right, Mark Riley?
Absolutely.
It's not going to go on forever, but, you know, she's sick and we're helping out.
Why can't it go on forever?
Ooh.
Why can't we do every Friday at this point?
I'll look into it. Maybe we can all sweep in. So let's get back to that call from Francois.
The confession we have on the line, Francois, a fake name,
yeah,
pretended to be a Republican in order to seduce a girl.
I'm so ashamed.
Yes, and you said that if you had seduced her, did you actually successfully pull it off?
We did reach consummation, yes.
And during that, you thought about Ann Coulter? Is that clear?
Once or twice.
Okay. All right.
But I couldn't see her face.
Okay, all right. But still, and then you used the Woody Allen joke. Okay. Which is you know, is pretty...
She was facing the other way. Anne was facing away from me, so I couldn't tell if it was her or not, to be quite honest.
Oh, so it's just a blonde back. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I understand. All right, we don't need to go too much in depth. Well, first of all, in depth. So first, now, for the transgression of trying to seduce somebody, or actually seducing somebody with Republican talking points, going against your liberal values, this means that you are going to have to go out into the world, find a woman, and try and seduce her with a very specific progressive agenda. I say veganism. You will now have to go out and try to seduce somebody and just on the premise that you are a vegan and this is why it is appealing. Okay? Now, next, for thinking about Ann Coulter, you must, you know, the next time you consummate anything, you have to think about Jeff Gannon. Okay, next. And the third one, which is a crime of hackdom, which is, but you know, you're not a professional, and you quoted the Woody Allen joke thinking that, like, I wasn't going to know. All right, so what you're going to have to do now, aside from watching Woody Allen's last three movies twice,
okay.
All right?
Okay,
yeah. If you're thinking like, hey, I wouldn't mind renting a comedy video, it has to be either Carrot Top or Gallagher. That's where you're at. So good luck with all that, Francois.
It's fair. It's a fair and just punishment.
Okay.
For my
there you go.
Well, all right.
I'm glad that we could help you. That's your penance. You take care.
Okay, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Three Woody Allen movies, you're a hard man.
The new ones.
You're a hard guy.
I'll tell you, after Crimes and Misdemeanors, which is a masterpiece, Hannah and Her Sisters and Husbands and Wives, that trilogy of films, genius. And believe me, Woody Allen, I love Woody Allen. But now I think he's just, you know, he's making movies just to know he's alive. And, you know, they have their moments, but, you know, all in all, not tremendous. But I'm not going to take anything away from Woody Allen. Woody Allen, great. John, in Memphis, what is your sin, John?
Well, Mark and Mark, I'd like to confess that in 1988, for the primary in Ohio, I voted for Pat Roberts.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa!
You know what? This is something I've never had to say to anyone before, John. There is no penance you're going to burn in hell. I'm sorry, buddy. I
need the burden relieved off of me. I've worked on, you know, presidential campaigns. I've helped people out. But still, I look back on that, and I think that I could have tried to put that guy in office.
Oh, dude.
And you moved from Ohio to Memphis since then, huh?
Yeah, I've moved all over the place. I joined the military, and, you know, they travel a lot, so.
Oh, my God. Wow. John, I don't, what were you thinking? I mean, was it that you were more religious then or delusional? What happened?
Well, my parents are, you know, they're part of the extreme religious fanaticism.
Okay. And then maybe we can, are they still part of it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, then there's something that you could do. Next time you go home, you know, I'm sure you've declared your liberalness, have you not?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, then you must maybe try to convince them that there needs to be a separation between church and state.
I could try to do that.
Okay. That seems reasonable. I'm glad that you didn't say, well, they believe that, because you admitted that. They are extreme right, religious right people, huh?
Yes, they are.
Well, good luck with that, John, and okay. And thank you for confessing it. It probably feels a little better. You
too.
You take care. Okay, bye-bye.
How could anybody vote for Pat Robertson after watching just one episode of the 700 Club?
I don't know. Well, you know, you forget how powerful parents are. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the Christo-fascist zombie brigade of the neocon death cult is so, you know, dead set on denying children fact-based educations and putting, you know, evolution out of the curriculum and, you know, intelligent design in, because they realize that the power that parents have and the power that that schools have to really, you know, destroy a child's mind and make them think a certain way is long-lasting. And this is a guy that was obviously old enough to vote.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's scary.
Okay.
here we go. We've got another one. We've got Bob in New Jersey. What is your sin, Bob?
Actually, it's New York.
Okay.
My favorite fishbowl.
Sure it is, Bob.
If that's your real name.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite fishing spot is the 8th worst polluting power plant in the country.
That's your favorite fishing spot?
Yeah. It's a warm water outflow of the power plant, and it's best when it's really pumping heavy. When the smokestacks are going, fishing's off.
Okay, now are you confessing it, or are you confessing that you're stupid? I'm trying.
I don't need anything I pull out of there. But, I mean, the fishing's hot when it's pumping. I mean, when there's smoke coming out of those stacks, it's great.
Well, here's what you got to do. Your first part of your penance is you have to get a water vacuum cleaner and get started cleaning up. All right.
Okay.
The next part is you got to eat anything that you catch.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to eat anything out of there.
Come on. Maybe you'll start glowing. Maybe, you never know. That's your penance. You know, choose to do what you will with it, but this is real stuff, and if you don't do it, then you're going to have to live with it.
What do you do, catch them and throw them back, or catch them and sell them to unsuspecting fools in New York?
I could do the second, but I usually throw them back.
Oh. Are they mutated? Are they weird?
I've caught some really funky-looking ones a couple times.
Like how?
Sometimes they sort of have, like, stub noses. Their jaws aren't fully formed, or they may have, like, a bum eye, things like that.
Oh, handicap fish.
Well, you know, get some butter. Fry them up.
Well, the river where it's located is fairly PCB-laden, so I don't keep anything out of there, but it's fun.
But yeah, start eating. Thanks, man. Take it easy. He didn't sound like he was going to honor a penance.
No,
he seemed a little glib about it. He didn't understand how serious this is. These people don't understand.
Why would anybody fish in a PCB-laden body of water?
For fun, because, you know, maybe he's, I don't know, it's because it's fun to him. Let's say, JP, listening to LIB in New York, what is your sin?
Well, you heard about Alan Keyes' daughter coming out of the closet. Right?
Heard about it? What, are you kidding? Of course we have.
Yeah. Well, I kind of liked that.
I'm trying to think of your penance, because I'm sharing your penance.
I got a penance for you.
All right, what do you got, Riley?
Since Alan Keyes' daughter was thrown out of the house,
yeah,
you got to put her up.
Excellent, but he won't.
Huh?
He won't. He already said he's cut her off. He's not
going to. No.
That's right. You got to put her up.
You got to put her up.
I've got to put her up.
That's right. Got a nice apartment there.
That's your penance, buddy.
I got a very small New York apartment, but it's cozy.
All right, thanks, JP. Good luck with the penance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot. You too.
I don't know. I mean, was he happy that she got put out of the house or something? I don't understand.
No, I think that, like, a lot of times we get confessions where, you know, liberals are interesting. They are, you know, the thing that makes liberalism great is that we respect people, okay?
Yes.
And the thing is about respecting people is that sometimes when the people, you know, are you know, in trouble or something like that, we feel bad even if like, he feels bad. You know, that this girl got put out, that the relationship with her father, even if he hates Alan Keyes, he doesn't like to see people suffer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's all. I mean, it's a little convoluted, and I don't think she's suffering, but she is, obviously.
Well, she's suffering an accident of birth, that's for sure.
But she's also suffering because, you know, her father has put her out of the house, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know,
and her dad's a creep.
Yeah, that's for sure. Morning's edition on the Randy Rhoads Show last Friday. We're going to be doing Randy Rhoads this afternoon as well. Again, apologies for the for not being here for you and for us being at home sleeping. What do we got this weekend?
Tomorrow morning we have a best of Morning's edition program as per usual.
Okay.
And on Monday we're going to talk to a Mideast expert about Iraq, whether we're going to have a secular democracy or some sort of theocratic whack job running that country.
Okay, Riley, so I'm going to meet you back here in a few hours to do Randy's show this afternoon.
When we both wake up.
Okay, fine. It's 57 past the hour. Take care.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I called this.